welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger today has been entertaining us for years, whether it's been on the telly, on the radio, or theatres, arenas, you name it. He's about to embark on an extensive tour of the UK and Ireland with his brand new comedy show, So Where Were We? Welcome on board the brilliant and never not funny, Darrow Brien!
This is the final boarding call for Dara O'Brien. This is the final boarding call for Dara O'Brien. Dara O'Brien, please, can you make your way to the gate? Thank you, Dara O'Brien. This is the final boarding call. Thank you.
Hello, Dara. Thank you for flying Alan Air today. Now, what kind of a passenger are you? Are you quite a nice passenger? Will you put your seat back even though it's just a few hours?
Oh, I never put seat back. Never put the seat back. And then I also wedge my knee forward so the seat in front doesn't go back either. I haven't got anything, because you can buy a wedge. You can buy a small wood or plastic wedge, and there's a point where you can shove it in so the seat in front can't go back.
You liar. Where could you buy? What, our there souls was. Are us? Yeah. Why would you? Where can you get a wedge?
You can get a wedge. You shove it in the chair and the person in front. But like the, I'm in two modes. I'm either with kids or I'm totally not with kids. And they are like the absolute switch between the two things. So either I'm touring or I'm traveling on my own, in which case I'm giddy and excited.
Yeah.
Or I'm in dad mode, which means I am just constantly counting the bag, the number of bags, and checking with the passport and doing all that stuff. So I'm totally different depending on which one I am.
Now, you're a boffin, aren't you? You love science.
I'm all right. I'm a bit of a nerd. Yeah, all right.
Can you explain to me, if I didn't have my phone on airplane mode, what would happen to that plane?
Oh, I have no idea. That feels like a big myth. That feels like something that they've done from 20 years ago, because people have these big, massive things and they're like a big transmitter. I can't see any. I can't see, like, because we've all had a phone on planes.
Yeah.
And it's managed to get there. It's not like we've gone, oops, my bad. We seem to be in Stockholm. I'm sorry. I have my phone on.
Your Candy Crush has made us fly.
Yeah.
To Kuala Lumpur.
I don't think it's a thing.
Really?
Anymore. Yeah. I think they're just being overly cautious. It's been like the shoe bomber thing, and we all take off shoes and stuff right now because it's one thing that one time. I don't think it's a thing. I think we should be all. And now they're just letting us. Do you regret the fact that now you can get Wi-Fi on the plane? You might be able to stay totally in contact.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I like being away from it all, and then I have that kind of false sense of importance. I'm like, oh my god, put my phone on, here we've got loads of messages, and then it's, you'll be charged €1 for every phone call. You're like, oh, it's from the bloody local telephone thing. But yeah,
the other thing that digital culture has ruined is I used to really enjoy, well, what shall I watch? I'm going away on a long flight and I shall catch up on everything. And now it's, oh, I have all these. Because everything is just released at the same time across seven different platforms. Oh, this is all just the same stuff that's been on Disney in the lockdown for the last while. There's no. I remember the first post-lockdown long-haul flight, and you realize, oh no, we've seen all this because we've just at home. We've downloaded it
from the dark web.
Everything. I have it all on some sort of memory cards. No, but there's nothing, that sense of like supping. Oh, just that stuff's not out yet.
Yeah.
None of that happens anymore.
Well, so we've got a bit like that with duty free, haven't we? Because you're like, oh my god, I can get a pound off a bottle of juice.
I know.
You're like, wait a minute.
Is that like a kind of version of like how much is milk? And you go, oh, I don't remember anymore. I'm so successful. I can't remember the price of milk anymore. Are we like that? Then we're going, I'm saving £3 in vodka. There's nothing to me. I'll spend it on the vodka.
But it's such a con. It's a con.
What, the duty free? Yeah. Well, the bit that offends me, and I found is the fact
offends
that
you
offends me.
Oh God,
offends me. Is times I've been running for a plane, and then for some reason when I get security, I've got to do this snake walk through all of the duty free now in loads of airports, like Scotland and Glasgow, I think it was recently. And I'm running for a plane, but no. First, I must be shown everything in the duty free. The ladies' perfume said, "No, where are the gates? They are further along the yellow brick road. The first you must come to men's facial cream." And it's like, what is it? Because it used to be just bang, you're in, and then it's over there if you want to have a look at it. And now it's like, come with me. this world of imagination, of beautiful. You must see everything, and we must show you all this, and finally the chocolate and legs. And then eventually you get to the gate. So that's getting to my tits a bit at the moment.
This really is the final boarding call for Dara O'Brien. Dara O'Brien, please. Thank you. We do need you on the fly, Dara O'Brien. Can you please come? Can you please step away from the Aramis and the Toblerone? We need you on board now. Thank you. Thank you. Don't F with me. Thank you.
I mean, I was looking at some of the shows you've done, and actually, one of the shows, it's basically one of the first travel logs, really. Three men in a boat.
Three men was...
And not only three men in a boat, three men in another boat. Yep. Three men in one more than one boat.
Yep.
Three men go to Ireland. Three men go to Scotland. Three men go to Venice. Three men go to New England.
Seven. Did seven of them. And everyone goes, I love that show, Three Men in a Boat. And you go, we did seven series of things. Narrow it down to some landmark that I can recognise. So it was. I mean, we did. And it started it was like, we did a journey in the very first one. It was me, Griffin, Rory McGrath.
And a dog.
And there's a lovely little dog, yeah. He didn't last the second series.
Because he got difficult.
He was a dogger. And it was a small boat with a dog.
Big coat problem.
Yeah. It was all about him. It was like,
in his trailer. And so we did a journey in the first one, which took 10 days to film. We went from Richmond, I think it was, Richmond or Kew, and then all the way to Oxford. And we're like, oh, what an incredible journey we've made. Got into the car, was home in an hour. And it was like, we did 10 days to get here. Genuinely road.
Yeah.
And then it went from that to what all the travelogues are now, which is, you'll do 4,000 miles and we'll see all of the, we don't see different climates. We don't see different, it became bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the last one we did was America. We went from Boston to New York.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're on and off. You're hardly on the boats at all.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, look at us on the boat, on a racing boat owned by the man who invented Sesame Street, owns this 6 million pound racing yacht. So we were on for like half an hour, and they're right, quick, off that one, in the back of the minibus, off some other mogul's boat or whatever. And so, but yeah, we did tons of, and they were very much, yeah, I think they were, they reinvigorated the whole, we really must send comedians to places, which is now obviously apparently become really offensive, and people are really interested.
I know, but I mean, because you wouldn't make it these days. But it was so lovely and funny and warm. They would never make it now, would they?
They were always in January. They were still in January at the very point that people were going, oh, do you know what? Will we do something this year? And we'd be doing this amazing travel thing. And so the amount of people said, oh, we went there because we saw you guys just sitting around talking shite in Croatia or whatever. Yeah. And then honestly, a helicopter shot of a boat just looks lovely. It was always very, very nice. And what amazes me is they haven't done three women in a boat yet. That blows my mind.
Yes.
It's an open goal of a thing. You get Toxic, Pasco, and I don't know, you get somebody else even newer than that. Same as we have for our thing. And you stick them in a boat with drone shots. Fabulous. It looks great.
I'm going to up the ante.
Go on.
Loose Women in a Boat.
Oh my God.
We'd all watch. Jane McDonald singing at the end, having flashbacks to the cruise.
Oh my God.
Oh my.
Every time she starts, they go, it's not the cruise. And Jane has to shut up like the. And then, and weirdly, like Loose Women, women, they disappear. Some of them disappear from it, and others appear. And so the women at the end of it are different from the women who started it. That'd be great. It's
like, hey, co-pro, me and you.
Let's
get our production companies onto this.
I think it'd be, I mean, yeah, but they were great fun to do. We never slept in a boat. We always faked everything. Absolutely faked everything. And like now, people are having investigations. They say, we used to film us in the previous day's clothes, arriving into a harbour. We put on the next day's clothes and then film us leaving the harbour.
Yeah.
And it's all done. Bang, bang, lovely. Thank you. Done. Yeah. Let's all go for steaks. It was really civilised and it was great. It was genuinely the only time that those things felt like a holiday. I later did a travel doc with Ed. And they were like, let's drive 4,000 miles in 6 weeks. And, you know, genuinely, you have to make the entire journey.
Yeah.
And you're going, at this point, you just hop us on and we'll do the filming.
Yes, yeah. But you don't need to be filmed all that long. What? I mean, I've got some amazing anecdotes, but even I can't drag them out for like hours. And then, we'll just catch you chatting. That's what they say. And you're like, no.
No, I'll do the thing. We'll do a really short burst. It'll be funny. And then we'll stop doing the thing and just get into the car driving.
Yeah.
The only bit they missed was I used to do, Ed drank, not tequila, the other one, the more mezcal.
Mezcal, okay.
Mezcal's a general term. It was a mezcal, which is a kind of, and it was like a guy we bought from a rough kind of thing who just made it. He has a donkey that went in a circle and crushed all the things, and he buried them, and then he created them. And you bought it out of a like a clear plastic container, and it was hooch, right? Yeah. And the guy kept saying, ask him, how does he feel that this would be sold for £100 in a bar in the East End of London? I said, why am I making the guy feel bad about his trip? And we did this, and so Ed drank, because I was driving at the time, so Ed drank it and dozed off while we drove the next leg of it. And I talk to myself when I drive. Do you talk to yourself when you drive?
Yeah.
So there was a point where I would translate the signs if I could, and we passed one and it said, curvas peliculoso. Which means dangerous curves. And I would, to myself, I would said, curvas peliculoso, dangerous curves. I would just do this idly to myself, like whatever. And then Ed raised one head up and said, your mother has dangerous curves. And then went back to sleep again. So that was the only time I felt they missed a moment.
Because I did a bit of research. I looked at the first episode.
Oh, no, really?
Yes. And you had your crutch there. Now, do you remember when we went to Kilkenny?
Yes. It was just after that. Like, whatever. I went to Kilkenny with you. Dislodged the bone thing. Had to have the operation.
But how did you dislodge it? I thought playing... a football match for all the comedians that everyone was at. Oh, I didn't know about this. I thought the B&B looked a bit quiet. I was there by myself. All the comedians were playing a football match.
I don't know why you.
It's because you don't see me as a comedian. No, funny people were there.
We drove down in a minibus.
Yes.
And a minibus that at one stage he would press lock and all the doors would lock in the minibus, right? Because I remember you were on flying form on that trip. Because it was like the door locked and you went, oh, it feels like a panic room. And that's when we figured out where to the hyper locked van through the Irish countryside. It was you, me, Stephen Kay. It was a random collection. My wife was there. Not the time. My girlfriend was there. But yeah, then I scrubbed my leg and then I had to go and do the thing on a crutch. But it was really baby faced because I was 33, I think, at the time. I'd only just started and I only got the gig, I think, because there's another comedian whose father, I think, had just passed away and he couldn't do it. And I got bumped up. But it was a real act of fate. They said, look, we're going to put you with these two guys. And I just sat in the boat with Rory McGrath and Griffey Jones while they told me stunning stories about, you know, the 1980s and this person and the parties and these things happening and those things happening, that I went, shit, I got nothing to tell. When I'm in a boat in 20 years' time with the young couple, I got nothing as good as this. Like, and the ones they told about, he would be battering the cocaine. And you go, no, him. Stuff I can't tell you now. It was like incredible. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we went out with that guy and this thing happened and he told everyone that he had cancer and we all said, oh my God, that's terrible. We all cried. And the next morning we woke up, he said, oh, it's so sad about you and your cancer. And he went, what? And he just made the whole thing up, this other famous character. And so their stories were astonishing. I'm just going to tell their stories. When I'm sitting with the comics, I'm just going to... Because our generation didn't do it. Theirs did, like whatever. So yeah, it was just me as a kid, basically, with these two elder statespeople and a dog. They moving along the river. Did I even say anything in it? Or was I just like...
Oh, yeah, but you said something which I thought was really interesting about your leg with your knee.
Yeah.
How they do it with chocolate bars to show you how big the scar was. Now, I've always had a problem with, you know, brain tumours. That's always fruit, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Grapes.
Grape, kiwi.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like pineapple.
Well, pregnancy, by the way, is all about, you know, it works up to, you know, gala melons and stuff like that. Like whatever. I mean, the entire books are about it. It is now a grain of rice. It is now a melon in your patch. Good for you, that, like whatever. So you're like, and like, oh, I'm so sorry, Pat. I'm so sorry putting a melon in your patch. I wasn't wearing the chocolate. It was certainly sweet. It was the thing, because I still have it.
Not Toblerone, because that'd be massive.
No. The bit they took out was like a Werther's original type.
Oh, right.
Sweet side. Because I still have it. And I had another operation on the knee.
Would you make it into like a brooch or a necklace?
I've always wanted to have best to wear it. And it is. I mean, ideally, it would still be in my leg, but it's not. But they don't. I don't give you everything that comes out of you. I don't think it's common practice. Soft tissue, they don't. I had an appendix removed and they don't give you that. But I met a nurse who was on my appendix operation at a gig and she said, I did your appendix. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, I heard that it was very close. It was actually again before another Kilkenny Festival. I said, I heard it was very close to it. And she said, it did. It came apart in our hands. And then she walked off. And that was a weirdly intimate detail from a complete stranger. Oh, yeah, your appendix, it came apart in our hands. I would have poisoned you. She didn't do it in that voice.
Sinister Jekyll and Hyde. Do you feel the cold now in there? Do you know when it's going to rain?
But it does go. Now, actually, it's even more fun because they've sliced it open last summer, bent the leg out, and then, as in like open, as in cut it and bent it out and put a titanium bolt in. So that knee, that same knee thing is still, and in 10 years' time, I have to have the whole thing replaced. Bit of big robot knee. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I've got a great opening bit with a cane. genuinely, I've got to buy a cane that breaks down because it's easier to travel around because I don't want to ditch the joke about the cane. The joke about the cane is too good. So now I've got to pretend to have a bad knee even though like I'm springing around the place in order to do my joke about the cane. It's.
And do you find you get bumped up on planes if you've got like a stick?
Oh, I've never tried that.
Because my friend, I'm not mention his name, but he has a neck brace which he puts on, and you do get better seat with a neck brace.
Oh my God.
It's not me, it's a friend. So don't write anything.
Wow, that's a classy move. No, yeah. It's more that you arrive with the cane and people go, oh, that's a security problem, that. I don't know what to do with that. Okay, yeah, you can walk it through. And you're going, because it looks like, I bought one that looks like you could whoosh, and you'd open it out and there's a sword, a blade.
Oh, like James Bond or something.
Exactly. That's the hope. But, yeah. Anyway, that's pretty impressive that you looked up three men in a boat.
Hello, can I get you anything from the trolley? We got panini, crisps, nuts. Where's the original? What they look like? Oh, can you put your trouser leg down? It's disgusting.
Well, I loved it when it was on. And it's so nice. And it's just the kind of thing, you know, because people say to me, oh, Alan, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to like, host your own show on ITV? Or whatever? I want to do that one. Have you seen it with Penelope Keith? Britain's Best Villages. What's she done to get that job? Just walking around in a trilby having a scone. That's it. No jokes. You know, doesn't even talk to her. She's no spiffing. And then she's off.
I've met her. Have you met Penelope Keith?
No, I want to.
Swears like a sailor.
No, she, don't say that.
Great. I mean, no, she's fabulous. She's a wonderful woman.
Not a C word.
No, but, you know, she's very... She's not shocked by anything.
Oh, Penelope look, Keith, it's like Dara motherfucking O'Brien.
Whoa, who thought that? Can't let him come in a place like this.
She pulled out a gun. Brat, brat, brat. No. She really swear?
She's great. She's very, very earthy. She's very down to earth. I met her on they had a thing, when they shut the BBC studios, they had an evening where they got loads of people in to do a one-off night on BBC 4 or something like that, where they discussed the history of the studio, right? At one stage, there was a panel on, and it is definitely, I have not lived, it was Attenborough, Cleese, Parkinson, and O'Brien. And it's like, who is the very much the odd one out in terms of the legendary standard? And I was there going, this is hilarious. And then there was another one with her, Ronnie Corbett. It was just like, what am I? I'm just in here to represent a generation of people. But this is hilarious, right? And so the after party was everyone you've ever dreamed of being in a room with, right? You're going, oh, this is amazing. I can talk to pythons. I can talk to this Attenborough, whatever. All these incredible people. I'm just going to have a chat with a glass of wine in my hand. This is going to be so good. I cannot wait. And then I'm going to phone call from my wife saying, there's been a massive power cut in the house. We're all sitting in darkness here. You've got to come back, right? And I said, are you sure this isn't just... Like, I said, you know what I'm... And she said, look, we're all the kids, we're gathered around. We've got a couple of candles. This is really serious, right? So I got into the car. I went all the way back to the house. I walked in there all in darkness. I said, well, look, let me go and check out the room where this thing happens. There was a one fuse that had tripped. I put it up. All the lights came back on in the house. And I said, you are mucking joking. Have I? Did you not know to just do that? Did you just a master swift? And from all lights, and all the kids went, right, bedtime. And they all walked off. And my wife was there going, thanks for that. And I said, I can't go back. I can't get a car back into the BBC. I was drinking with Attenborough.
The only time that's ever happened to me is when David Walliams hosted the Royal Variety Performance and they put me in the same dressing room as Bruce Forsyth, Des O'Connor, Ronnie Corbett I mean, and the stories, I mean, I just couldn't even. And then we couldn't get the sound through to the stage. So because I was the youngest, believe it or not, I had to crawl under the telly and start turning the thing up. And then I kid you not, Bruce Fulton, I was going, higher, higher, no. honest to God. And I said, are you taking the piss? but we don't have those characters anymore.
But I also worry that the next, because you're the next generation coming behind us, are so fit and, you know, and they all do podcasts every day in the morning and they all do the shows.
Yeah.
And whatever. They're, you know, we're slowly working, you know.
These young comedians are at the gym.
I know.
At 7 a.m. We're just coming in. Oh, God, with red wine lips. What did I do last night? Who'd I get off with? Oh, my God.
Edinburgh now. It's like, I go to an Edinburgh show. There is a muscle, a specific muscle, which is my giveaway. Yeah. So the young comic will come out, like, or a male comic will come out, like, whatever. And they'll lift the mic up and there's a middle muscle in the upper arm,
yeah.
And not the one that you show to kid. Oh, look at Daddy's big arm muscle. There's an underarm one, but then there's a middle one that fit people have. And if ever I see that muscle appearing underneath the t-shirt line, I go, ah, no, you're
no. Nah, that to me, that's like the Beast of Bodmin. I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
You know, they're ripped and stuff, and you're kind of going, ah, no, lads, that isn't what this is about. Surely this is about stumbling back at 5 a.m. Yeah, but I don't know if that, even the, you know, things like. When we were doing Edinburgh, there was a place called the Penny Black. Do you remember the Penny
Yes,
Black?
Yes.
Gone. Like, yeah, so you do a place that would, somewhere would close at 5, Penny Black would open at 6. That's not a thing anymore, I don't think.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tanya. I am here to look after you and all your needs today. This is just a little message to say that we are all in. Sorry about that. That's fine. Yes, I was just about to say we have a lot of paninis on board. Sorry, I've just flicked the trip switch. Sorry about that. The power is now on. Enjoy your flight.
Okay, tell us your most luxurious hotel and resort you've ever stayed at. Hotel or resort. Have you been blown away?
Yeah, no, there was a chain which exists like as a kind of a weird memory because it was pre-children. It was just honeymoon and for a couple of years afterwards, called Annam, I think they were called. And there was one called Annam Dara, actually, but we never got to that one. But they had a series of these Annam places that I think it was one of the Turks and Caicos or something like that. Except Turks and Caicos got ruined slightly by sandflies. There's a thing called sandflies and they're very, very bad. They're a very bad, itchy thing, whatever.
Oh. So
there's a bit of running in and out of places. It was quite a thing. But Annam did a few of them in, you know, Indonesia type things.
Yeah.
And we would do. Which only exists as this weird memory because the minute kids arrive, obviously, they're great places to bring kids.
Yeah.
But like, you're like, do you have a kids club? Do you have a very shallow pool that I can walk through? Whatever. Your needs for change dramatically. And so, I remember, there was one that was even on a boat. It was like a dive boat and it was in the forest of India. Oh my God, they're just like this weird, did that actually happen? And it was just the two of us for 2 weeks. Nothing else to add. But they were lovely. They were like a lot of, you know, day beds. A lot of day beds and a lot of lounging around kind of a thing. Or ones that, Christ, do you remember, I think it was one, that, those ones that are on a, that were on a that steps out from the Maldives island. The Maldives generally, you don't bring kids to Maldives really. Those ones that are on a wooden kind of thing and you're...
When you had good sleeps and you didn't have to relax and so it must be lovely pre-kid. Because I went on holiday with some kids. My nephew and niece, they're not just some kids. I abducted. But they have, it's the iPads now. No, I spy.
Oh, no.
They've both got iPads. Both, what's the Wi-Fi code? They don't even talk to you. What's the Wi-Fi code? I mean, kids, I had to play I spy.
Yeah. No, they don't do boredom now, kids. They really
They cannot
don't.
Do they boredom. Oh.
Yeah, it's like, what? What?
Look out the window. Why? Well, just look out the window. That's what I had to do.
One of our three looks out the window. The others, we were like, I'm going, this is not a landscape you see. It is snow outside.
Yeah.
We don't see snow and think it's a mountain. It's the desert. Look out the window. And they're like,
They've probably got an app for snow.
But they fight. They fight to get the window seat on the plane and then don't look out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going, what are you... What? No, this is fundamental. I'll take the fucking window seat. And I look, and I still go, oh, we're really high. I still have a sense of, look, you can see it stretched out. You can see the different kind of way people live. It's so interesting. I love the... I used to love as a kid seeing different road signs. We'd go somewhere different, suddenly the road signs were in a different language. Yeah. I just love that small detail. The small details that change. This is a real comedian thing to go... You know, hey, you seem to do your crisps differently here. You know, to really spot yeah, yeah. tiny irrelevant things and think this is the most interesting thing in the world. But I used to love that stuff. Whereas, I'm doing something. I'm watching something.
I just came back from Iceland. So I went with like my nephew and niece, and they were both arguing. I want to sit next to Alan on the plane. I want to sit next to Alan. And like I said, I feel there's a lot of pressure when people feel, oh God. Got to dust off me anecdotes. Of course, just sitting there shooting people on the thing and she's watching a cartoon. I mean, no one even said anything to me. I want to be like I'm, you know, the prize in a...
Did you do Iceland? Did you do the hot tub spring?
Yeah, thing? Did all that. And then me and my brother were there. The kids were back in the room. So we were there. And then all that misty in that lagoon. And I said to Gary, I said, oh, Gary, I just love a pint. Wouldn't it be amazing? Then like a mirage, this woman with a glass of Pinot Grigio comes out of the mist. I'm thinking, oh, my God, the sulfur's got to me. I'm hallucinating. I say, where did you get that wine? She says, bar. So we go over there. There's a fully functioning bar.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And of course, all the Icelandic people are over there getting the salts and the minerals rubbed into their face. Yeah, yeah. Everyone from England is just saying, pint, please. Peanuts, please.
There was a, we met over with a friend of ours, a comic. I went over there a couple of years ago to do a show and Ed came over. Ed came with me. It was just for the crack. Ed came over. And we know a guy called Arne Eldjarn, who's an Icelandic comedian. So we hooked up with him and he said, oh, I'll just bring it to a local one. Which is just like a gym, but that has the hot things and the cold things, yeah. and they're just already doing it. And as we're driving along, I said, "God, it's really small. You must all, you know, you all." Yeah, yeah. Bjork, he says, lives there. He says at one point, and then driving around, he said, "Oh, look, there's the Prime Minister." And there's just a guy playing with his kids making a snowman. He said, oh, he's the president or prime minister. And I said, oh, come. He said, oh, yeah, you're grand. And we hopped out. We got a photograph taken with the president of Iceland. And then he said, oh, I'm just going to go back to my kids now. It's so grand. It's really, really informal. Yeah. And the thing, like whatever. And we just chugged around for a couple of days.
I loved it then. Of course, it's that weird thing, that drinking thing we have. Like, you know, you say, well, how is it expensive? I said, oh, yeah, £10 for a pint. And then I realised there's no... You know, I want to buy other things, but that's what just people use the currency.
Yes.
£10 a pint, Alan. I'm like, but what's milk? What's bread? What's a night out? What's a meal in a restaurant?
Yeah, I go to Norway a lot, like in the thing, everyone says, oh, but £10 a pint. You go, yeah, but you do. What are you going to do? Thing. Well, I should have a third of the pint. you do. They're just amazing places to be. So, yeah, you got to just go for it while you're there. You know, Ed wandered off. Ed didn't come to the gig. He didn't go to the gig. Ed came with me to record, going to do a show, didn't go to the gig, found a bar, got hammered in the bar. I and the tour manager came back and found the bar he was in. He goes, this is the best bar of all time. I said, really isn't, Ed. You're just drunk. And he said, look, he said, we're going to go watch the Super Bowl, which is on or something. We're going to find an American to watch the Super Bowl. And he said, I'm going to go home. And we said, okay. And Ed, we let him walk home in the snow. And we're going, how did he not die? He didn't know where he was going. And he can't recall how he did. But then he had an early flight. He got up. He said, no, I'm going to get up. He got up, went to the airport. I had a flight in the mid-afternoon, far more sensible time. And then walked up. And then when I got back, I rang him. He said, no, I'm still in Iceland. I arrived late in the airport after having gotten up, had missed my flight. They say your next flight in 6 hours' time. I went and sat down in the seat. Fell asleep. 3 hours later, I walk past him as he's still asleep there. I get onto a plane and I go home and then I ring him and he's still in the airport. And he'd come over to hang out. Oh, and like, sorry.
That's Iceland for you, and it's too much great. Fun.
Yeah.
Right, we're about to land now. I've just got a quick, these are very quick fire.
Sorry, okay. Did you
I've got past, no, you didn't answer pages. Any of my questions.
Sorry.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Donna will now be pushing the trolley down the aisle. Please peruse at your leisure all the duty-free. We have very high-end labels such as Gucci, Versace, Armani, and Arsoles R Us.
Thong or sarong?
Oh, sarong? Yeah. Of course, yeah, with I this. Can... Yeah, thong.
Full English or full moon party? Do you like a rave up?
I'm still of the night. I'm still of the night.
You're still of the night.
Whatever. Yes. I think I'd look a bit ridiculous at full moon party, but I can't. Yeah, if I can, I'd be up late. Yeah.
First aid kit or first aid shit?
probably the shit. Probably yeah. The bad tummy. Yeah. Yeah.
Mozzie guard? No thanks. I'm hard. Do you take all the Mozzie guard and the coil?
I deet in the whole thing here.
Yeah, you have to. If you've got kids as well, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
And tip them or fuck them?
Oh, tip them. Jesus.
You don't say, fuck you, no. I'm not paying you, I'm going now, you'll never see me again. Okay. Not like I do.
For the buffet, I do feel, wait a minute, I seem to be the one walking up and down here. All you did was literally just checked my room number at the door. Yeah. I have done most of the commuting in this situation. Commuting. So that always feels slightly like, also you're kind of working out what am I doing here? Yeah. But generally, I presume word gets around in a resort.
Especially on an island as well. Yeah. Oh, here he is. Here's Ebenezer.
We're not going to be retiring on this bugger. You know where the buffet is, mate. Come on, get your own plate. Yeah, so tip them.
Thank you so much, Dara. That was brilliant. Thank you.
You're an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's so much fun.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Thank you, as always, for flying Alan Air. Remember, life's a bitch.